Thanks, Andrew. I agree with all of those things. It's good to realize how good we have it. I think it's a definite aspect of our flesh that we don't see what we have to be thankful for in others. We are quick to look at faults and shortcomings and slow to see the blessings that others are in our life. And you can turn to Psalm 127. I'm going to share from there. But I was just also going to say that in addition to the good virtues that Andrew called out, I was just thinking from my own reflection. Maddie's away, for a few days here, and we're keeping the wheels on with help from others. So I see the work aspect of it for sure, and a lot of the character that Andrew shared. But I was even reflecting on it yesterday, just thinking about, like, even if we could find a way to keep the laundry done, find a way to keep the kids homeschooled, find a way to keep the meals going, I was still in my mind going, you know what, there'd still be such a lack if it wasn't for the mom, because God made men and women different. And one of the things he put of his own character into women and into moms that he didn't put as much into men is just that nature to compassion and care for the children, and just that ability to be patient, to seek to understand what's going on in the child's mind and in their heart. And as a good dad, I think we can do that too, but it's just like God has put that into the fabric of how he made mothers, and it's another virtue to see and be thankful for in our wives and in our moms, is just how God has done that in them. And I was just reflecting on that yesterday, that kind of like, even if we could somehow, which we can't, don't get me wrong, it's not like we're I'm relying on multiple different people to help us out these few days, so it's not like we could keep it together, but even if we somehow could, we'd still have such a gap because of just that special way that God has made moms to be compassionate and have that caring nature that is a real blessing, and children need that. Husbands need it too sometimes. Let's turn to Psalm 127. And you'll have to bear with me as I share from here. I'll try and not go too long. But it's interesting. It almost is going to seem a little bit like contradiction, but it is the way the Lord laid it on my heart, so I'll share it, and hopefully we can be edified by it. But in Psalm 127, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives his beloved even in his sleep." And I'm going to get through the whole psalm, but I can tell you that in all of this, the building of the house, it goes on to talk about children, which I'll share about briefly as well. But in this building of the house, I was like, just reflecting on how I really need the Lord to build my house. And maybe I'll cut to the end and then come back and share some things. But the verse that actually most caught my attention, I was listening to a song that Madison had from an old CD this week, but it ended with how blessed is it. They just sang this psalm and it said, "How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them," speaking of children. "They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." And I was just, that verse caught my ear because I hadn't actually connected it with this psalm. Like some of these aspects of it I had, but that verse, like this aspect that they would speak with their enemies in the gate. And in the old covenant, there was an aspect that I think of was just speaking here, somewhat natural perspective, like God is blessing with children, and therefore I'm gonna not bear the reproach of not being without children. But when I read it for myself, and when I heard it, what spoke into my heart was just now this aspect of being able to speak to the enemy in the gate. My heart was just that, God, I want to be able to see my children grow up to follow you. I want to see that, and I want to be able, and I kind of think there's a promise in this that we could say, like, the enemy comes and can say a lot of different things, but like, I think, I was actually even, sorry, I know I'm all over the place here, but I was even a little afraid to share this. I know I'm so early on in my journey compared to many of you, but I was just in my mind going like, even now as my children are maturing, it's coming to a place where you start to see like God gives us a pattern and a plan, which I'm going to share a few verses on, but ultimately the awakening of the soul, the conversion, the work of the Holy Spirit, even just that, even just those first things, like even in, just in my own life, you just start to see these things where a little question will come. A question comes and you're like, that's the Lord, right? The Lord's doing something in their heart to make them wonder and ponder on these things. And for me, when I read to speak of the enemy in the gate, like when we ultimately see God working in our children's lives and see the fruit and see his working, it will be a testimony to the devil that, you know what? God has done this. I didn't do this. I would have messed this up. But look at what has happened here. And I know there's different spectrums and changes, but even if it's just one, God has done something here. And we can testify and see his work in it. And the enemy cannot, he's silenced by that, because it's just a miracle that God does this. And I was just encouraged that I want that testimony. And it's not one that you're going to earn, as I'm going to share a few verses about what our response, our part in it, but it's just like ultimately, God wants to give, he wants to build our houses, and he wants to give a testimony. Because so much out there is just like, I don't know, it's there's just a lot of other voices saying, like, it's just that would speak lies and hopelessness and discouragement. But God wants, he wants us to know that he can build a house and he can give a testimony that will silence the enemy, that says God is able. Look what he's done. Look what he's done. So with that in mind, I was just going back to the first verses. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. And I was reflecting on that and going, it's the verse that came to mind for me was actually Matthew 7. And this is where it can feel like a contradiction. Some of you may already know where I'm going. But it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. But in But the verse that came to mind for me is in Matthew 7:24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And I just was challenged to say, like, is this not the Lord building the house? He's given us a plan. He's given us a blueprint. He's given us a way to build. And if we believe that, if we trust in that, then I just was like, if I want the Lord to build the house, then I need to also be willing to follow the plan. And I say this knowing that there's kind of some contradiction in what I'm saying here, even in the emphasis of the psalm. But that's what was in my heart, is that I want the Lord to build the house, and therefore I want to also be seeking to build my home on the rock, build my own life on the rock, and have our home founded on the rock. Because that is taking heed and listening to what Jesus said and putting it into practice, applying it. And I think in that, as we do that, and it has to be done, like for me, when I read these, I was thinking there's like a commingling of these two things here. Like it's not like we want to take, and I'm going to share just a couple that stood out to me, but it's not like we want to take these things and be doing them in fear and saying, okay, if I don't do this, it's going to be a disaster. But rather, it's like, God, you've given a promise. You've given a plan. You've given a pattern for a home to how it should be built. And if I follow that pattern, you're going to do it. I put it back into your hands. God, I'm seeking by the power of your Holy Spirit and through the instruction of your scripture, I'm seeking to do and walk in what you've shown me. But ultimately in that, it's not doing it out of fear, but rather saying, God, now I put it back into your hands. You say you will build the house, you will guard the city, or you will guard the home. I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust that, you know, seeking to apply and follow your plan, that I can now put it back to you and not be building in anxiety or fear, but rather be building in rest and trust that you're in charge, and that ultimately you can, thinking of children, you can bring about that awakening. You can bring about that stirring that only the Holy Spirit can do. No one can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. I know I'm quoting that slightly wrong, but ultimately it starts with the Heavenly Father drawing. He drew us, and it starts with him drawing our children. We have a foundation and a part to play, but ultimately the new birth, the work and miracle that God wants to do in each life starts with him. He does it. And so we have a part to play, a pattern to follow, but we also then could look to him and say, God, you do it. I'm going to seek and cry out that you would do this work and fulfill your word and your promises. So just briefly, I think three things that stood out to me when I was just reflecting on seeing the Lord build my house and wanting to then follow the pattern that was given. And I just was the first one that said is at the beginning of chapter 7. It says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the same way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And I'm applying all of this and thinking of building my home and raising my children. And I know it has a deeper application of that on a personal level. But I was just thinking, like, you know what? If I want to see God build my house, if I want to see God do a work in my home and my children, then I need to have a guard on my thoughts and my mouth and my thinking, that I would not be judging others. I would not look down on others. I would not see somebody else going through a struggle and somehow look down on them or judge them or say, oh, I think I know why that's happening. No. Be on guard against that. Be on guard against that. But rather say, put it in your heart that we would judge no one. But rather, if we see someone struggling or going through difficulties, we would have a burden to pray. Have a burden to pray and to come alongside and encourage. If you want your house to fall, if you want these promises not to be fulfilled, then feel free to judge. But if you want these promises, if you want the house to stand, then do not judge. Do not judge. And to the extent that God does anything good, turn the praise and the glory back to him. Don't say it's, like, if we, just coming back to what I said at the beginning, I was reflecting on this, like, when the enemy, if God has truly built the house, when the enemy comes and we're going to able to reprove him and stand against him at the gate, our testimony will not be, look what I did. Look how good we did it. Look how good we did it. I'll even say something bold here and say, I know there's good books on parenting out there, but every time I see these books about how the pattern and the path, I get a little, I'll be honest, I get a tiny cringe inside. Because I'm like, I don't know, like, hopefully there's some good advice in there, but we better be careful from saying, we figured it out, here's how to do it. Because I have not seen that testimony in my own life, and of the men and women that I've seen that have had God work in their families, I haven't often heard that testimony from them. It's been a testimony that God did it. God did it. And yes, he gave us a pattern to follow. I'm giving a few points to rely on today, but ultimately, the testimony to the enemy at the gate will be that God did something. God did it, and we praise him and thank him for it. Second one I was thinking of was just chapter 6, verse 25. Do not be anxious. Do not be worried about your life. Do not be worried about your children. And I was reflecting on this saying, as parents, I think we can absolutely have a burden. And it actually may be a burden given by the Holy Spirit. In many cases, it is a given by the burden given by the Holy Spirit. So there can be a burden that comes that we need to pray and seek the Lord and fast and ask Him for help. But that is not worry. There's a difference between a life of anxiety and a burden which comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will have to help you perhaps discern between those two. But what we know is that a house built with anxiety will not stand. So I don't want that house. I do not want the house built with anxiety. I want a house that is built with faith and trust in my Heavenly Father, that says He looks after the sparrows and feeds them, in verse 26, or the birds of the air. He's feeding the birds of the air. How much more will He look after me and my children? How much more, it says elsewhere, I think it's in Matthew chapter 18, that the angels over the little ones appear constantly before the Heavenly Father. Those angels are always there. So God knows what's going on. And I'm not saying that this means that trials will never come. And I know even there could be difficulties. But we have to live our lives not fearing the difficulties, but rather trusting that our Heavenly Father is watching over, is caring for, is desiring that we would live free from anxiety, free from fear, that we would live lives where we trust Him and say, we have a good Heavenly Father watching over us and watching over our families. The world does not have that. The world does not have that. It is one of the great privileges of being a child of God that we can trust Him and bear witness through our lives and our testimony that we have a Heavenly Father and we can trust Him in the face of difficulties and each and every day. Because this is a daily thing. Whether there's great trials or just minor ones, every day we have to learn to trust Him and live free from anxiety and build our house in that way. And I can say that because it's throughout this passage that it's a daily battle. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. And that saying, each day is enough trouble of its own, to cast it to the Lord and trust Him and see Him help us. So another way we want to build is a house where it is free from anxiety. And this is a growing, but we want to be progressing in this. We want to see the Lord more and more. We're learning to trust Him and be able to not fall into the snares that the devil lays to make us anxious. The third one I want to read is actually going to be maybe a little bit not what people thought of before, but I'm just going to share it because it's on my heart. It says, verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you that they have the reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men. But your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And I just was reflecting on some of my own personal experience and also the scriptures teaching here. And I was applying it in the context of seeing a home built. And I was thinking, you know what, part of this difference between anxiety and a burden, but if we have a burden, there may be times where God calls us to fast and pray. And what a better thing to be. I mean, I don't want to say it's the preeminent. God can give many good reasons to have a burden to fast and pray. Things in our own lives, things we see in the body around us. But it can also be for our children and for our homes. Like, fast and pray. Because God, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And lest anybody think I'm saying things that are beyond my own accomplishments, fasting can be skipping a meal. It does not have to be 3 days with food and without food and water. I was reading Esther this week as well, and seeing when that crisis came, that was their response. But that was a good response, and God worked through that. But it doesn't have to be a grand thing. It could just be, God, I'm skipping this meal because I have a burden. I have a burden, and I need you to help. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to work through this. And I can tell you from my own experience that God can answer and respond even to those very small sacrifices like that, and He can use it. But it is one of the ways that when we want the Lord to build the house, I would say this is part of it, that there can be elements where we need to follow this instruction and be laboring in secret according to the plan and instruction that he's given, to see him build the house, to see him do it. And it will not be something to boast in. If it's produced in boasting or pride, then throw it in the trash because it's worthless. I've done that too. Throw it in the trash. But if it's done out of a burden and a faith that God instructs us that can work through it, then God can do good things through it. I think for the sake of time, I'll move back to Psalm 127 there, but I think you could take this whole lens. I would encourage you to. I was doing it this morning. Take the whole lens of the Lord building the house and apply it to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because it applies to our own life, but it also applies to the house that those of us who are parents, he's calling us to build. Don't love money. Don't store up treasures on earth. All of these things are the house he wants to build. So Matthew 1:27, verse 3. But children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is a man whose quiver is full of him. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. I don't really have too much to add to that. Children are a blessing. He's given them to us as a gift. As a gift from him, we've been given these children. And he wants to help us. He wants to build each one of us a house. He wants to build it. He wants to guard our homes, just as the watchman guards the city, or just as the Lord guards the city, and we have a part to play, maybe as watchmen for our homes. But it's the Lord guarding the city, and it's the Lord building the house. That's the foundation that we need to have. But in doing so, we can respond to that and say, God, you're building this house, and I want to take heed to the instruction and the ways that you've shown me how you're going to build it. You're going to build this house by helping me overcome anxiety. You're going to build this house by helping me overcome judging. You're going to build this house by helping me learn to have a burden and pray according to your Holy Spirit. This is how you're going to build this house, Lord. And I want to be part of that plan. I want to see it fulfilled. And ultimately, we have the promise that he will allow and give a testimony that can allow us to just see all the other testimonies around us and all the hopelessness that's there and say, you know what? No, God is able and he does it. And he's done something good in my home. He's done something good in this one or that one or all, whatever it is. But God has done it. And that's my hope. And like I said, I know I'm early days in this. And I know I've got burdens to go. But you can know that those who are further and maybe in struggles, you know, I'm not judging you. And praying for you. And praying that the Lord would build his home in our home as well.